At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
It is Monday, February 7th, 2022. This is episode 169.
Whoa, it finally happened.
Of Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. What do you got? Oh, you got Liquid Death. Dan is still here shilling for... You know Live Nation owns them, right? That's why I was saying that last week.
I don't care.
Yeah. It's like the only water you get at concerts these days. Thank you for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. Over there, I think. Yep. I did the finger guns right. And then we got Dan James down below. How are you guys? How are you, gentlemen?
Good. I've got a terrible headache, but otherwise good.
Awesome. I am great. Never been better.
If you guys are watching us, a little housekeeping again. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure that you hit the subscribe button, the notification bell icon. Everybody in the trap right now, smash the like button. Help us get seen, get more people in there, circulate more conversation, see what kind of crazy shit you kids can cook up these days. If you guys are listening to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I guess now, nobody has iTunes anymore, that doesn't exist. Please leave us a rating and or a review. Let us know what you think of the show and we will read it aloud. We actually got our first, I'm a little ashamed to say this is our first review in 2 years.
That's crazy.
I stopped short 22 months, I guess, not quite 2 years.
Are working, Tim.
23 months
are working.
The ads are working.
They were like, fuck, if I gotta start listening to ads or leave a review, I'll just start leaving reviews. So
yeah, it is from Jay Hennaball, a name you might recognize from the trap, using his full name. Don't even have to dox him. It's pretty great. Saying the best United podcast by far. Always good to relax on a Monday evening and drink bourbon, listening to this group discuss all things United, Atlanta, never Manchester. Keep it up, gents. Cheers. Cheers, Jay. Appreciate it. Much appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Kevin did mention, you guys might, if you're listening to us on the podcast the next day or whenever you guys listen to your podcasts, if you guys aren't watching on YouTube, we have switched our hosting providers. There are dynamically inserted ads that are supposed to be somewhat targeted towards our audience. We do this so that we can pay for our hosting.
We do this so that we can do this.
Yeah.
This has been, 5 years now out of pocket?
Six. And, this is the sixth. Season. Yeah. Just if you need to skip them, skip them. They're like, I think they're 30 seconds a piece. At the beginning, one in the middle, or maybe two in the middle, something like that. I don't know.
Got to pay
two fast forward taps on Spotify. Yeah.
Or unless you're crazy and you have something other than a 30-second fast forward, and then just doing all kinds of math and having to keep a like 45-second fast forward. Why is that
one front, one back?
Yep. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. We have a lively trap: Elliot Beaven, Richard Gordon, the usuals. Jay Hennaball, the aforementioned Jay Hennaball, Saul Lopez, Eric Ferreira, saying I fully expected to see Jay Riddle on the broadcast. Us too.
That makes four of us.
Yeah. Brittany S. saying she's just waiting on some signings. And then Kendrick Brock, 169. Nice. Stephen Perales is in with us. Pierce Hicks, thanks for joining us. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's nice to see your name in there, Pierce. I feel like I am the whitest person on earth with this light shining on my face. I feel like it's just, are you guys not being blinded right now?
I mean, it's between
no more
you
blinding
and
than the reflectivity off my bald ass head.
What can I see myself in more, your head or your glasses?
Yeah,
let's
my
see.
Glasses are very distracting. It's probably not helping my headache at all either.
Oh, Kevin. How are you guys doing? Kevin, how are you doing tonight outside of the headache? How are you feeling going into, what do we got? 3 weeks?
I feel good because we finally know that the kit is actually going to happen. So we got the announcement for the release party. I guess it's going to be down in Piedmont Park on the 19th, if I'm not mistaken, which would be next Saturday.
Hmm.
Which is that whole debate about like, is next, I hate like next weekend is not, is next weekend, not the next weekend that occurs. So when I say next weekend, I mean the 19th. This weekend is this weekend.
Right. Yes.
But I think we're talk all to some page. People sometimes and they're like, oh, you mean like in 3 days from now? Because that's the next weekend. It's like, no, it's not. You don't say next week for the or next Friday, whenever you're talking about this Friday coming up.
No. Yeah. I don't. All that does is like confuse things.
Yes.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Kevin. What about you, Dan? How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. Just busy. I've got to go to England next week.
Deported?
No, for a funeral, actually.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah. Well, it's my last grandparents' funeral.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Dan. I had no idea.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that, Tim.
Yeah, it's
I'm really sorry, Dan.
It's all right, man. Don't worry. She's 92. She
that's a hell of a life.
Yeah, she was awesome. Her last words were, "Tell them all I love them." What a woman.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say 92 stone.
I mean, that's probably true too.
I think that went over Kevin's head, but yeah. So,
but yeah, no, but I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to getting back home for a little bit, seeing everyone.
What was the last time you've been back to the motherland, as it were?
About 5 years.
It's been a while. Wow. Yeah. Since the beginning of the pandemic, then. So right at the beginning of the pandemic?
Since his last court date.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have to. It's like.
Gotta check in with your parole officer.
That's right. 5 years. That's right.
It's the constable. Use the right term, Kevin.
It's the constable. Yeah. You're gonna go meet with those kids in the fuzzy hats.
Yeah. I'll probably try to re-enter the country with my green card. And I was like, hold on, sir, there's a complaint on your green card. Didn't think, what's his name? Mr. K. Bradley?
That's right. That's right. Man. I'll be waiting at the airport making sure
right.
to stop you.
With your MAGA cap on?
Exactly.
You're gonna have a sign up instead of saying Dan, just, fuck you, Dan.
Fuck you, Dan.
Dan, go home.
Red hair just says make podcasting great again.
Oh, go home, Dan. Yeah, so kit reveal. We didn't really talk last week. If you guys didn't listen to us, I think I would say that last week's episode with Joe Patrick, which was a great episode, is not necessarily time sensitive and you know, most respects, I think it's worth, at least leading up to the season, it's probably worth if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to it. But we didn't really touch on that episode much on other departures other than the high profile ones. And I guess Eric Lopez, which we'll get to in a little bit, talking about that whole debacle. But
the good news is we get a departure and a signing in the same week with the same player. So we can talk about that from both camps.
That's a Boca 4D underwater chest masterclass. That is just like, why
he is playing 4D chess?
Why didn't Eels do a cryptic tweet for Eric Lopez's return?
Yeah.
It's just like an airplane going the other way, like reverse airplane emoji, to see if anybody gets it.
So what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about players or do you want to talk the kit?
I think one of the players that we didn't really talk about Ozzy at all last week, right?
Not really.
We didn't talk about any acquisitions last week.
It was just full. It was
all departures.
Okay. So which departures did we not hit on last week?
Alec Cann.
Thank you for your service, Alec Cann. It's I hate to see him go, but I feel like for his career, it should have happened a couple years ago. Who else did we lose? We lost
Barco Bello, Ben Lundgaard.
I was about to say Lundgaard. Yeah. Yep.
Alec Cann, Eric Torres, Mo Adams, Josh Bauer, Franco Escobar. And Eric Lopez.
You call Franco Escobar a departure this year because he was gone last year.
Well, I guess he's officially transfer. He's not our player anymore.
Say Ibarra's gone?
Oh. Eric Lopez.
No, the last one. Who did you say last?
I said Eric Lopez last.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you said that earlier. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I think those were all probably foreseeable, right? Like, I mean, Mo Adams, I felt like couldn't stay healthy. And then even whenever he was healthy, he seemed like he was kind of a shell of his former self this past season. Whenever he got brought in, I didn't really seem to have plans for him. Ben Lundgaard, just another guy. I mean, Josh Bauer, I think, is a little interesting that he's gone. I don't know if we traded him or if we just let him go.
No, so we declined his option. And strangely, Nashville has picked him up. So that's interesting that we declined that and a good team like Nashville picked him up.
Because he was our first round pick last year.
I think so, yeah.
No, he was out of Indiana, right? It's interesting you let Anton Walks go. We talked about this last week, right? You have Miles, you have George, you have Alan Franco, you have now Bryce Washington also back there that can play center back. But I feel like you have a guy that's probably not commanding that much money, and he's your number one, like your first round pick in 2021 Super Draft. I don't know. It just seems weird to have let him go, but.
More Kubo, that seems to me like you can't have a departure for something that was barely there to begin with.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to miss that time wasting, to be honest. You know, I mean, it's like he'd put on a masterclass, just jutting his butt out in the corner. You gotta be able to do the old fat head, as our coach would call it back in.
Smiled all the way out the door.
Yep.
Like, we gotta let you go, Kubo.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. He's not even 30 years old yet, right? Like, he's younger than Joseph, right? Isn't that right?
No, I don't. I think he's past 30, isn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was. I thought he was older because he's been in the league for a bit. Yeah.
He is 29 years old.
Yeah.
No way. Serious?
Kubo Torres is 29. Okay, so he is older by like a year than Joseph. Who is it? It's somebody that.
It's crazy to think that Joseph's 28, but
yeah. There's somebody that was older than him that I thought was interesting. I can't remember who it was. Anyway.
Guzman.
Well, yeah. who else? So we picked up Justin Garces back, right? Did we reacquired Garces, his rights?
Greg Garza's coming back?
Yeah, Greg Garza. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also known as is it Julian Garces?
It's Justin Garces. We picked him back up, right?
He's 21.
Yeah, he was part of our youth setup, and then he went to UCLA, I think. And then I'm wondering, because he was part of our youth setup, did we get his rights to sign him back, like first team to sign him back, maybe, after he came back from college?
Probably.
Yeah. And then we picked up, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. What's the name of the backup keeper?
From Miami,
Castanera. Yeah, so he's going to be backing up Guzan, right?
Yeah, I was surprised. So we traded Mo Adams for him. I'm actually surprised we got some value out of Mo Adams.
Well, I mean, it was to Miami, right? I mean, Miami's.
Yeah.
Granted, they did just pick up DeAndre Yedlin as like their seventh, eighth DP. I think is Yeah. I mean, like, they're just going to, they're like, is Lane Kiffin managing Inter Miami? Like, it's just all of the, like, they're just going to have all the violations. Paul McDonough running things behind the scenes again.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see that spread offense, though.
I think on the goalkeeper depth chart, it's Guzan, then Shuttleworth, then Castanera, and then
Garces. I forgot we picked up Shuttleworth, too.
Yeah. So I think Garces is going to go to the twos for
the
year.
He's got to, right? I mean, he's young enough. Go, yep. Like, let him kind of cultivate that talent down, or I guess up in Kennesaw. And then, because Shuttleworth's not, he's not a spring chicken, right? He's...
he's 34.
My age, yeah. So Brad is 37, 38.
Yeah, 37.
Yeah, he's 37. Like, he probably doesn't have, I say that, but like, I think Casey Keller probably played into his 40s. Brad Friedel played into his 40s. Nick Raimondo played, I think, into his 40s. So I don't know that we can necessarily say that Guzan's going to be gone. Like, he's going to retire soon, but
yeah,
I
mean,
you got to think Garces is like the guy for the future, right?
That's what I've heard, is he's the guy we're going to groom to eventually take Guzan's spot.
Yeah.
So, but I haven't heard anything about Rios Novo.
I was about to say, what about Rocco?
He was on loan. Yeah.
He was on loan and came.
He came as part of the Moreno deal from Lanús.
The Moreno deal. That's right. But I think we had a buy clause of maybe 2 million or something like that, or 1 million. So maybe, I don't know. I mean, the window's not closed yet, but now if we've got four keepers on the roster, I would be surprised if we get a fifth.
Right. So, it doesn't make sense to have four keepers on the roster to begin with. So I don't, no. Yeah.
Not with how much the depth on the field has been challenged over recent years. I do not want any more than three at the very most.
Right. Like, I don't know that.
And that's often... only for whenever Guzan's injured, Alec Cann gets a red card, and you got to bring in.
Yeah, I don't know, third. Man. Like, I don't know why it's necessary. Like, you barely even need two. On your roster, like, how often that happens is like, it really is just the instance of a red card.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. We have anything in Joe Johnstone asking if there's going to be a meet and greet on opening day.
I'm down.
I will not be there, as I am no longer a season ticket holder.
Fully adopted the plastic nature of your ways.
Yeah. I think my daughter will thank me.
No, she won't.
Absolutely not.
Right, she can't talk yet. Yeah, you can't talk yet. She can't talk yet. So I guess I shouldn't expect that from her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be there, though. So I'm not sure if it's going to be me and the fam, or it might be just me and Walker, but we'll see.
Walker Zimmerman? You're bringing Walker Zimmerman to the game?
No, I'm bringing a better player than Walker Zimmerman. Also called Walker.
Okay. It's bold.
Bold. Kevin just rolled his eyes.
What, Kevin?
Nothing. I'm out of it, fellas. I apologize. Tonight is just a bit of a struggle. It's been a long, long Monday.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. So who else are we running? Tim. So it's Caleb Wiley. Came in, so you should be backing up Gutman in the right back spot.
Wait, Gutman or Guzman? Gutman or Guzan? What if they switch their jerseys up and like, what if Pineda accidentally pens them in the wrong spot on the lineup?
And then he's
too proud to be like, oh, that was a mistake. And then we have a Freaky Friday situation because they're both bald too. And then watching on a shitty broadcast because I can't watch because I don't have Comcast cable. And I can't tell who's who.
Well, I mean, everyone's just going to blame Boker anyway, so.
Yeah, the
fan base will not stop until he loses his job this year.
By the fan base, you mean Will, our friend Will Balron won't stop until Carlos Bocanegra is without job.
Keeping it alive.
I tend to think thinking about it pragmatically, that he hasn't actually done that bad of a job.
No, he hasn't at all. The only things that I'm annoyed with him about is the Nagbe thing, letting him go. And he messed up. I had one other complaint, which I can't remember off the top of my head. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, like, you just think about the constraints that you have. And I think the big one, can we address we'll get back to signings. This one should be a departure, and I think the front office wants it to be a departure. But the drama that's unfolding with Jürgen Damm.
Jesus.
I know, right? So what's your take on it, Tim? And then I'll give you my take.
No player's bigger than the club. I think that's the big thing to me, right? Like, the fact that he's coming out and being like in the public saying they're asking me to restructure my contract and I'm not going to restructure my contract, I think is kind of an unprofessional thing to do, because you could just say that behind closed doors and sit out for the season and get your money. Because from his standpoint, to me, that just shows that he's, I don't think a diva, because he doesn't seem like a diva, but like, it seems like, from an outside team's perspective, like, you wouldn't want a player like that if you can't even negotiate with them or talk to them behind closed doors about their contract. I mean, it's not like this is England or any other league in the world, because we have a salary cap and we have all these kind of constraints. And it's ultimately the front office's fault for signing him and paying that much money or guaranteeing him that much money. But I don't know. I think it's kind of crappy, to be honest. I think his contract is an easy way to scapegoat Bocanegra and Darren Eales, to be honest. But I can't think of a team that I've rooted for in my life, or any other team for that matter, that hasn't had a bad contract on their books probably every single year. Like, it happens. Yeah. It sucks. It sucks. And we lament it. And we just, like, we vent about it because he's keeping us from potentially having other players. Or, like, look at, like, CJ Sapong signing on a free for Nashville last year and being an impact player for less money than Jürgen Damm, maybe even half of what he was making. And you look at that kind of envious, and you're kind of projecting that onto the situation. Like, I can't believe we paid him this much money. But when you looked at it, he had a lot of potential, because in this league, you don't necessarily...
He had a good TikTok following. The kids loved him.
Exactly.
And he was going to sell jerseys. We were psyched.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, a player like him, to me, in MLS, still in kind of its infancy, maybe it's toddlerdom. I don't know what you call it. But, like, you can still have a very impactful player who's one-dimensional, like Jürgen Damm is. And I think that you bring him in, like, he could have been a really impactful player due to his speed. But I don't know. I think it's kind of a stupid situation. I think it helps nobody in the situation the way that he is posting on social media. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think. Sorry.
Feed that Tamagotchi.
So I don't speak Spanish. I wonder if there's some sort of mistranslation there where some of those keywords have been taken out, but maybe there's not. I have a problem. Like, there's a lot of, I guess in hindsight, it's not a good contract, but, you know, nobody can bat 1,000 over 6 years, 5-6 years. So there's going to be contracts you don't like and players that we're not so enthralled about. But overall, I think Boca's doing a good job. I think what irritates me about Jürgen Damm is why say any of that? You have just told people that you're going to sit there and collect a check. And I really have a problem with that, because if I'm going to be an employee, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to work damn hard for my money, regardless of what I'm making. And to not, I know he's been injured, but to have that much of a contract and, quite frankly, not get on the team is is kind of bullshit. It's Bush League, and I think you're I don't have any time for you if you're going to be like that. I can't stand people who sit there, complain, and boast about getting their contract paid out. It reminds me of like Jack Rodwell at Sunderland, how he was, I mean, they were in dire straits with financials, but Atlanta United's not. They can probably afford to just pay him and just keep him there as a break glass in case of emergency. Because, you know, God forbid Araujo goes out, then we're going to need someone like Dam to have a chance. But if I was him, I'd be trying everything, working every angle to get with the team, to play with the team and not be training by myself. So he could, unless he can show me that he's decent, I'm saying don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Kevin,
No, I agree with both of your points wholeheartedly. It seems very stupid to me to muddy the waters, particularly at the beginning of the season, no less, where you're in a situation where you're just going to lose a year, essentially, where you could have made the best of it and at least put yourself into a position to leverage that into another deal potentially or change your contract at that point in time. So it just seems silly to me.
Yeah, I feel like this hurts Dam more than it shows on the front office.
Yeah.
No, for sure, because like I don't know. That's where I think it's just a complete lack of professionalism. I mean, every team, I'm sure, has guys every season that are surplus to requirements, especially when you have a new manager coming in. It's not anything new, but like, wouldn't you, I don't know, fight for your position, look good in training, something
again,
like
it's,
that.
It's back to the whole Bello thing, right? Like having that forethought about like not just the immediate, but the long term. And I feel like this is a very short term decision rather than a long term gain.
And
what's the play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right?
You know, and that's not to say at all, I'm
not saying that he's not potentially worth that to somebody, but based on what his role is now with this club versus what it was whenever he was coming in, it's completely different.
No, agreed. And I don't begrudge him at all for wanting to get paid.
No, absolutely.
Because he signed the contract. Like, it's on the team at that point. Collect your money. But I don't know why you would go out and, like...
Yeah.
It just, it's sour grapes to me. Like if you're surplus to requirements, you know that the manager's not going to want to play you. Help them help you move on. Like Steven Perales is saying, he's been linked to both America and Chivas. I don't know anything about their track records when it comes to transfers, but I don't know if this like sullies the, or kind of muddies the waters a little bit.
It also shows that you're not willing to play ball with other teams. Right. Like that. It's again, it's not just hurting your standing with your current club or your outlook there or your ability to get playtime there or the perception of you locally or regionally, but also internationally, that stuff's going to get around and other organizations are likely going to, you know, at least have a second thought about what their contract negotiation would be like with him and what that would end up panning out to be in future years with any sort of agreement that they come to with him up front.
I agree with Pierce and Brittany in the chat. Pierce just saying, you know, just take the L. Like the front office doesn't have to pay him out yet. I feel like there's some moves in the works that could trigger a buyout of Dam's contract that he can just move on and be a free agent. But I mean, until you've got those moves in place that you're ready to pull the trigger on it,
right?
I feel like it's just going to be a waiting game. And then maybe some of those moves don't come to fruition and he's still on the roster for the year.
Yep.
And Pierce is exactly right. No one is going to pay him near that salary. And when he gets cut, he can sign for them. So, I mean, this is Dam's last big contract. I mean, I'd be surprised if he goes to America.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too.
I mean, I just don't think he's that good.
No, he couldn't cut it at Tigres. I don't know that. Yeah. It's frustrating because we did see flashes occasionally whenever he was healthy of him being able to like impact a game because of his speed and his ability to get the ball in the box and what have you. And it's just, I don't know. It's frustrating. Back to the Boca Negra point, Steven Perales, I think, sums it up for me. He gave us Dam and Araujo at the same time. I was all, and he corrects it, he said, I was all Boca out. But how things are going now, I'm fine with. He said, recent signings and rumors seem in positive directions. I agree wholeheartedly. Again, you can't get it all right. I don't know how the man behind the curtain F's the Tau. I think, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Demetrius. I don't know what strings he's pulling currently, and maybe that's maybe helping or just alleviating some of the burdens on Boca Negra. And maybe that's why some of this stuff is trending more positively, but I don't know.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Did you see that Thiago Almada's court case dissolved in some shape or fashion last week?
He's been dismissed from it.
Yep.
Oh, so the whole thing dissolved.
I don't know. This is probably a wrong choice of words, but yes, he's been dismissed from that that case and those charges.
I don't know
that there's been an explanation as to why that happened, but I mean, that clears him to become an impending transfer. I don't want it to be a circus with the fan base. And I don't know if we'd be able to avoid that.
So my whole thing is they need to, if we, because they still haven't, as far as we know, they still haven't taken the option for the purchase yet. They need to address it if they trigger the option and he gets presented as a Lagnoli player. They need to address it. But I mean, I don't know what to think. Like, if he's been dismissed of a case, which really I don't know any details of, how do I mean, I have to pull for him as an Atlanta United player because the case is dismissed and therefore it's over. I can't just assume he's guilty because
we get it. You've still got a Michael Vick jersey. We got it. You're a Falcons fan through and through.
I mean, I feel like Vick paid his time to society. and Almeida's never been charged with anything. Yeah. So I just, with all the information
on
the table.
He's been charged. He hasn't been convicted.
Right. No, I don't think he was even charged.
Oh, really? That's what Pierce is saying. It was, he's no longer involved in the open case.
Yeah.
So
I can't. Oh, CM is saying he was charged.
Okay. That's what I thought. I thought he was in court, so it seemed to be okay that he was charged.
But if he's dismissed from it, I don't know what else I can do. I can get really wrapped up in it, and I can go digging and try and find something. But
I have no idea what the Argentine justice system's like, what the court system's like, what they're prone to. Like, and I don't know that it's worth our time to sit and like contemplate that stuff because we
can go
down there. Yeah, well, go down a rabbit hole.
Kevin will. But I think what we have to do is, unless new information comes up that, you know, makes him have to serve jail time or be found guilty of it, I mean, I feel like as an Atlanta United player, as a young kid coming to a new country, I have to, you know, cheer for him. So I'm on the Almeida train if he gets signed.
Yeah, I don't know what else you're supposed to do at that point. I don't know. It just makes me think back to obviously a much lesser clip to the Adam John signing and what that brought to the fan base.
Yeah,
and that was not even. That wasn't even anything related to like criminal charges.
It was a political perspective, right? Yeah. Wait, wasn't it just he like was a Trump supporter?
Yeah, I think he maybe donated money at one point or something like that.
Man, I mean, this is America, the land of the free. Can you not be a Republican?
I don't know. Maybe we should steer clear
that's
of this
for,
subject.
That's for another podcast there, dude.
That's fine. No, I know. I'm just, I mean, people can... have whatever political opinions they want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to chastise you for it.
Just
me. No, I'm pretty sure I've chastised someone on this podcast for their political opinions.
Yeah, it's probably pretty accurate. I think CM, I think I know who CM is. I don't want to out him. But he's saying it's a mess, I guess, in reference to the Argentine justice system.
Does CM have friends?
I think.
CM Punk, right?
CM Punk, yeah.
Oh, CM Punk, right.
Yeah. He's better than you because he doesn't do drugs. That's the second time I've used that reference today. I used it at work. I used it again 15 seconds ago. So
was the person you were saying to its reaction to immediately get defensive?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's who I thought it was. Adam Mulligan. Shay Adam.
Oh, I thought it might be Christian Mills. Sorry.
No. Mills is long gone. Mills is long gone. I think he watched the podcast for Joe Patrick last week, and he said, "Bye, guys. I'll never talk to you again. It breaks my heart, but I'm not going to say anything about it." But
oh well.
Yeah, I'm obviously not heard about it at all. Who were the other potential signings? That first of all, did Shakiri sign for Chicago yet?
Shakira.
Yeah, Shakira.
No, I don't know.
Zerdan Shakira?
Yeah, didn't he sign for Chicago, didn't he?
It looks like he is set for...
really care because it's Chicago.
His medical... I mean, they're going to have a pretty decent attack between him and Robert Berich.
I don't think we've ever beaten Chicago in Chicago.
I think you're right. I think the last time we played them in Chicago was at 5-0, 5-1. It was like 5-0 at halftime they went up on us. It was real bad. It was very, very bad.
That game was abysmal.
Yeah. Ooh. So I'm very jealous that they picked up Shakiri. I think he's probably going to light up MLS.
Awesome.
The other guys that we are... Carlos Tevez signing for DC?
That's the rumor.
What? He's gotta be like 45 years old at this point, right?
Yeah.
He is probably. 30 is 38 years old. Is he gonna be a DP?
Oh my gosh. Really?
Is he really like what? That's crazy. I didn't even think he was still playing. Next thing you know, we're gonna sign Robinho or something like that. Like what is going on? This is a retirement league, I guess. It really still is. He's in for a rude awakening though, right?
Yeah,
it's saying your daddy's MLS.
Brad Guzan's 37, Tim.
Yeah, and it's showing. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, Elliot Bevenstein, we did beat Chicago in Chicago in 2018. What was the score, Elliot?
It was like 2-1, right?
I don't know. I'm asking Elliot.
That sounds familiar. No, I'm answering you, though. You can ask Elliot all you want.
Can't hear him. I'm asking Elliot.
So we are rumored with who? Dupuy? I don't know that guy.
Dupuy. That's the only like one that's been more than one rumor on.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought it was 2-1. I do remember that.
And then I saw something Rob Usry was posting about, and maybe that's Dupuy, the 18-year-old Paraguayan kid.
That's Julio Enciso.
Yeah, there's no named club with him yet, but just a big name club in MLS is interested in him, and that's only going to be a handful of clubs, I think, for what
one club
they're going to be wanting, because it's supposed to be a record transfer fee, right? So there's only a couple clubs that would be looking to do that, if not again. But
maybe that's the Almeida insurance policy.
Yeah,
you almost like would. I don't know. Would you rather go for him than Almeida? Less baggage, more...
He's 18. I mean, he certainly doesn't come with any of the glitter and the glimmer that Almeida is coming in. I mean, he's like one, if not the top talent in Argentina. And he hasn't won any South American Player of the Year awards. Julio Cenciso is, he is, as far as I know, relatively unknown in Paraguay. So
I don't know. He, it's worked out for us before. Granted,
I couldn't say
Almiron played for
right,
played for Lanús, but
I mean, all I could see from all of the highlight videos I've seen is I want Almeida because he scored more goals, and Enciso's 18, while Almeida is 20.
He's 21.
He's 21. Right. Okay, so he's got 3 years on him. I mean,
oh, you're right. He's 20. He turns 20
Almeida
in a couple months.
Almeida could be. He has the potential to be that $30 million transfer. out of MLS. I mean, he could be legit, but then Barco could have also have been that. So, and still could be.
Yeah.
We're hanging on by one more finger.
not that we don't have the finances for it. Like, we're not Liverpool. We're not like we have to sell players to buy players, but we haven't spent the Pity Martinez money yet, right?
Oh, God knows, Tim. Like, in terms of allocation money?
No, in terms of, I guess it doesn't work like that. Because I'm thinking like transfer fees, whatever. No, I'm thinking like European soccer, right? Where you sell a guy.
I'd love to see the margins that the team has run with the signings and trades that they've had. Like, are they in the red or in the black for all the incoming and outgoing transactions?
So transfer market has a current transfer record of 9.38 million euros. And that is, I don't know if that's this year. Oh yeah, it's this year. Can we just do all years? Maybe not. Yeah, I'd like to see that too, Kev.
It'd just be interesting because, you know, I mean, we picked up a lot with the Miggy sale, and then Tim, to your point with the trade with Pity Martinez, I think we still took a little bit of a loss with that, right?
No. We made money, but it wasn't very. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't
as much as the team was hoping to make. But
what we bought him for 17, sold him for 20, something like that.
Yeah, and then MLS takes their cut, and you end up with.
Well, how long was Pity with us? Was it his third year?
I think it was his third year.
Because it's it gets scaled, right? Yeah. So it's like 60% they take the first if you sell them in the first year, right. 30, but I don't know, whatever.
So again, you know, those are all big wins. Bello,
we get
no
all
matter
of it.
What is yeah, you'll get a little bit there. You're taking a pretty big hit with Barco based on what I mean, again, it depends on if he gets sold next year or what you may get out of that long term. But
Well, it might only just be a million on Barco loss. I don't know. I think it's just like Liverpool. There's not really a profit loss column. You just go and see the ownership.
Yeah.
Get.
I mean, it's millions. You're making money on butts and seats, right? Like that's what you're making money on is the ticket sales and everything else that you're getting week over week and MLS Cup appearance and everything else that comes with that. And that's the rest of it is just icing on the cake that allows you to keep doing so and makes your pockets a little bit deeper to go out and sign some of those players. So, but I'd still love to see sort of how the team's shaken out 5 or 6 years in now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, agreed. Brittany S was asking what was the actual fee paid for. Is that for in reference to Bello?
I thought Bello was 3.
I thought it was 2.2, something like that.
It's 600. Oh, that's right. It's 600,000 guaranteed, and then I think a lot of it's wrapped up in bonus incentives. Gotcha. Yes, so I think he has to reach certain milestones, maybe for it to get to that point. I think it's. Yeah. I think it is 600,000 up front, if I'm not mistaken. He did play this weekend, though. Made his debut in the second half. From what I read, wasn't stellar, but I think anybody's going to have shaky legs going into their first game in a foreign country at 19 years old. So, especially whenever you're battling relegation, right? Like I think every week's going to get a bit nervy. To add or to CM's point, I'd love to see how much they do in merch, let alone players in terms of revenue.
It's got to be crazy, man. Absolutely
The jersey sales alone. I mean, Atlanta's got, what, 2 players in the top 10 for MLS jersey sales with Miles Robinson and Joseph Martinez. So
sounds about right. It's
I think that's what they posted last year, was like top jerseys sold, and those two were up there.
So we'll probably have Miles the rest of the season, right? Or at least until summer.
Yep.
Which, in which case, even if he's bought, he'll probably get loaned back to us for the rest of the season.
I don't care if Miles gets sold or not. Like, I'm not. I would prefer to keep Miles here, actually.
Indefinitely,
or just like the best.
Well, he's the best center back in the league.
Not according to the writers who vote, or whoever votes for most valuable defender, because 2 out of 3 years, it's almost like, you know, whenever they do employee of the month, at some companies they'll do it, and then the same person wins 2 months in a row. They're like, oh, that's not fair. We got to stop doing this. It's like we have to spread it around, or like it gets spread around because of for hurt feelings purposes. Because I thought he got screwed against Icapara. I guess that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, but I think the only reason that Zimmerman and Icapara beat out Robinson was because they score goals. And Robinson's only scored one.
What a fucking dumb reason, though.
I know. And plus,
he's a defender.
Miles Robinson's 24 and Zimmerman's 28. And Opara, yeah. I think he's in his 30s. I mean,
he retired, yeah.
They're pretty old, and Miles is so young compared to them. So Miles could.
Has Miles won a defensive player of the year in MLS?
No.
I didn't think so. It was 2 years ago, Icapara beat him out, and then last year, Walker Zimmerman beat him out, right?
Correct. Though I think Miles finished third or fourth last year. But I think he's the best center
I agree.
Back
yeah.
in the league. He's the guy I'm taking.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. It's silly to me. But I will say, it was Elliot Beaven saying Miles and Walker make a great team. I agree. I like them in the back for USMNT. I think that's a great pairing. I think they've given up one goal, and it was a penalty whenever they've paired together in qualifying. Anyway, it's
Canada beat them 2-0.
But they weren't.
That was Chris Richards and Walker's.
Oh, open. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought Miles played against Canada.
But Chris Richards is so much better because he plays for Bayern Munich. But he's, I don't know. Anyway, it's stupid. Miles Robinson's better. He deserves to be in that lineup every single time. They won the Gold Cup with him in there because of him. Yeah,
because of his goal scoring ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes full circle. Yeah. No, I mean, to your point, I think I love the guy to death. I want him to shine. I want everybody to know how good he is outside of Atlanta and outside of MLS.
I want him to be the best player that he can be. And let's face it. I mean, MLS isn't the top tier league in the world. You know, I want him to be able to play and compete and thrive in the best possible situation. And to say that Atlanta was at least a part of that would it be awesome to have him here? Yeah. But I'd always wonder, like, was he just sort of capped by staying here for that long? You know, like that's always that wondering what could have been.
But I feel like a lot of the fan base are just trying to chase him out the door for a fee. And it's like,
No. It has nothing to do with fee and more so just knowing how good, at least for me, it's knowing how good he is and that needs to go to the next level as a result, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Oh, and my bad. Yeah, Adam's right. Miles did play that. It was Miles and Chris Richards that game against Canada, but it wasn't Walker Zimmerman and Miles. I don't know. I don't know.
Cool.
I think he's great. Yeah. But I also am not worried if he moves on, because I think that George Campbell is a fantastic talent.
I'm really excited to see the two of them back there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. During some like squad rotation or whenever Alan Franco gets, we're probably not going to play a three in the back, right? I don't think that's Pineda's preferred lineup.
I don't know if formation. We'll never play it, but I think Pineda's preferred lineup is four in the back.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, shit. Who else? Ed, so have we missed on any of the, or have we not talked about any of the acquisitions so far?
So we talked about
Goodman last week. That's like kind of,
you mentioned it briefly, but Ozzie internal is the big hire one right now, right?
We talked about Ozzie last week.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought we did. Well, I mean, we can talk more about him.
He's never missed the playoffs, right? I mean,
I think that's a fantastic signing.
I do too. He and Gonzalo know each other very well from their days in Seattle, right? I think he's been nothing but a leader. I mean, he went to Minnesota and made them into a help. I shouldn't say he single-handedly made them into a good team, but like I think he was a good part or a big part of that.
Yeah. I'm surprised how many minutes he played for Minnesota.
Did he play 30 plus games last year? Is that right?
Yeah. At full games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great for us. He was the kind of guy that we were missing last year, that veteran who is going to, you know, he's not afraid.
We really haven't had that. Yeah, we haven't had that since the Nagby and...
since Jeff left.
Jeff departures. Yeah, exactly. It's been completely... our leaders are Guzan in the back and Joseph up top, and Joseph's been in and out with injury. And so having somebody that's not just a veteran from the standpoint of play tenure, either with the team or with the club, but just with the league as a whole, I think makes a huge difference. And we saw that with Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Larinowitz and Nagby and those guys year over year. And, you know, while Guzan's had tons of experience in the league, he's also all the way on the back end of the field. You need somebody sort of out on the pitch that's going to be having a commanding presence on the field and kind of directing players and stuff like that in the thick of things.
Yeah, you're right, Kev. I'm really interested to see what sort of mentoring he can give Sosa. Like, I feel like Sosa can play in that role, and he's aggressive enough on the field that he can be that field marshal in like the mold of Larenowitz and Alonso. So I think, and the fact that Alonso is bilingual as well is really going to help the communication.
Well, you get that combo that you had with Jeff and Remedy, right? Like, you've got somebody that's got a little bit more of that veteran stewardship, right, alongside somebody that's going to be a little bit more of an aggressor and be able to make those moves going forward, and somebody that's going to know kind of how to position those talents and those strengths and be that sort of conductor right there centrally. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to the season started. I'm also really looking forward to the new kit.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited that we don't have to wait until the 19th, because as I mentioned to Tim earlier, I think that I'll set the line at February 15th by the time we get a leak from someone somewhere, whether it's a player that puts it on TikTok unbeknownst to everyone that he's wearing the new kit that hasn't been revealed, or somebody sees it in a Dick's Sporting Good warehouse and posts it online. But somewhere, somehow, before the 19th, we will see the new kit.
How many team sheets do you think are going to get leaked on TikTok like the day before the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's bound to happen, right? Maybe Jürgen Damm does it out of spite.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. That'd be so funny.
That's what I was hinting at.
Gotcha. Sorry. It went over my head, Dan.
It's all right. That'd be hilarious. But so I really like the mint color. I think those hoodies looked beautiful. I really want to get one.
Me too.
But one thing that I, because, you know, you and me, Kev, we're nuts for details. In the email that they sent around,
it's fine. You can call me a sloppy bitch if you want, Dan. It's Tim, like
Tim, that's
Tim doesn't care about the details at all. He's Tim's just like throw it on the plate, lunch lady. Just throw it on the plate, lunch lady. That's my mentality in life. That's what I've lived by my entire life. And Dan has outed me, I guess.
Oh, God.
It's okay. I don't care about details, guys, obviously.
I don't think that's what he's... Dan hasn't said anything, and I'm willing to bet that he's going to talk about the text that was in the announcement.
Yeah.
Email. Yeah. Because I was looking at the same thing, the texture behind the. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tim, you piss around with the soundboard all the time. You absolutely care of details. I don't know if you're as graphically inclined as me, Kevin, because I don't know shit about
it. Oh, great. Tim doesn't have an artistic bone in his body.
That's right.
Great.
I don't know if you know anything about woodwork or anything like that, but.
My head is gonna split open laughing at this shit.
This didn't go well, of course. I forgot about his entire Instagram account and his side career.
God, dude.
I'm sorry, Tim.
God.
It's fine.
Anyway, continue on your first.
No, what other insults can Dan hurl at me?
He might. Why don't you ask Tim if he can whittle you a shovel to keep digging that grave you set down over there?
That's fine. See if you get your cut of the ad money from this week.
Yeah, we got enough to pay our dues, but Dan's still got to pay a third.
$25? Oh, that's hilarious.
Hit him where it hurts.
Anyway.
You're welcome for derailing this entire thing.
I was glad the
graphic, the green graphic that had some like diagonal, it kind of looked like something in Angie's style.
It definitely does.
Because, you know, she's the one with the artistic talent in the family, obviously.
I will cede that to you every day of the week, Dan. I didn't even get an announcement email.
I secretly heard that Angie really does all the woodworking. Tim just glues it together.
Badly.
That's true. Yeah. Did a lot of sanding. Wait, why didn't I get the announcement? Because I'm not a season ticket holder? No, because Dan, you don't have season tickets. Huh. That's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't.
Maybe somebody posted it on Twitter or something like that.
No, it was on the email. Tim, it's probably because you didn't renew your season tickets.
But did you get season tickets this year, Dan?
No, it was just an email. Maybe I got it through Rush or something like that.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, I am excited to see the kit. I really am. And I really like the color, and I love the new hoodie.
I love the hoodie too, but like, is it too minimalist? Like, it's literally perfect. Just like a half by half.
It's perfect. It's like a Kanye hoodie. It's just $600 cheaper.
I mean, I like the color, but like I look at it.
It's also got this. But Tim, it's not just that. It's got the stripes on the side. I don't know if you saw that.
I'm pretty sure those get printed on everything Adidas makes.
Yeah, but guess what? It's details. And you're not very detail-oriented. That's so right. Make sure that you pay attention to those things.
Yeah, you just printed that point.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Adam says Tesla design, but like to me it looks like the Tiger Woods logo in the middle of the chest. Mm. Like it reminds me of the little TW.
Yeah.
It's a little vertical thing, yeah. But it reminds, I don't know, some of my kids have like the really bright colored Adidas hoodies and they're like so soft.
Oh my God, we get it, dude. We know you're from Europe. Cool, Adidas. We cool. You're so cool, dude.
All day I dream about soccer.
I mean football.
Anyway, they kind of feel like clouds hoodies. So I'm kind of hoping it feels the same way. You probably won't notice.
Go back to drinking your aluminum water.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't notice. I'm not very tactile either. So
that's right.
No, fuck. What was I about to say? Damn it. I lost my train of thought.
Wasn't anything about details anyway.
So. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, no, I was thinking like, that makes me think of, you know how big and expensive Champion hoodies are now?
Yeah.
Like they do limited runs of Champion and stuff. No, I was thinking about whenever I was a kid, whenever we were kids, Champion was like the Walmart brand.
Oh yeah, dude. All those brands have made a huge comeback.
Okay, next thing you know, like it's
like
gonna
all
be
all the 90s stuff that was just throwaway is all coming back.
I just need a starter jacket. When is Atlanta United gonna release a starter jacket?
No kidding.
I would wear that all day. All day.
Oh, the brand starter with the star.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, the big puffy, not the ribbed puffy jackets, but like the just big baggy jackets.
You don't like, you prefer a baggy fit to the ribbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. I do. Because I need to hide. I need to hide my body. I need to hide it from the world.
Me too. Me too.
Same. Yeah. Hence my puffy coat.
Yeah. Hence. What is that? What are you drinking, Kevin?
Water.
Oh, I thought I saw you sipping on something earlier.
No, my head's killing me.
Yeah, last week.
Hair of the dog.
Last week, Tim.
Nope, that's not how that works.
Last Tuesday, me and Kevin had really brutal workouts that were really difficult to get through. So I guess he's not drinking because of that.
Tim, I haven't seen you post a difficult workout in probably 6 months.
Hey, it's the quantity, not the quality.
No. I did
like at least 6 5-minute workouts today. So
are they high intensity though?
No.
Tuesday morning was a struggle. I will
They're
tell
stretching.
You that. That Tuesday morning workout last week was a struggle. Oh,
I wouldn't know what that's like.
Oh.
I walked Florence around the neighborhood for like 4 miles yesterday, and I felt like I was going to die later on in the day. It's not a single bit of high intensity, just getting old and fat and just, yeah.
Got to get that dad bod going.
Oh, I've got that dad bod. Yeah, it's it was here before she got here, I think so.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. So we have reached the witching hour. Anything else for tonight?
No, I was just checking Twitter to see.
Oh, did you guys? Did either of you watch the game this past weekend?
I watched a little bit of it. It just doesn't mean anything.
Watching those preseason games. Yeah,
it just doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah. It, you know, to get excited about anything is just could be false hope.
Yeah, it's like you got to take 5 touches before anybody can try to score.
Yeah,
like 5 players. They're all doing drills while they're playing.
It's, yeah, 3 touch and side net only.
Yeah, exactly. All
awesome.
Right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. If you want to hang out with us after the show, you can find us all online. Tim, where can they find you?
You can find me at Tim Herb on Instagram.
And Dan, what about you?
Find me at DanJMS.
Find me at The Architect. That's at @_ARC. TECT. Find all 3 of us collectively at Home Before Dark on Twitter. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. However you found us, be sure to like, subscribe, hit that bell icon to get a notification each and every week whenever we go live on YouTube. Be sure to tell a friend. We'll see you next week or the week after. We haven't decided yet. I'm assuming it's going to be next week. We'll have something to talk about, I'm sure. Maybe we'll figure out who's going to be in that starting 11 by the time we record next week. And maybe we'll have a special guest that'll show up during that episode. We'll see. Until then, as always, be home before dark.
Bye, guys.